Good morning, Nueva York, with King Downing returns tomorrow at 6 a.m. Right now at 7 o'clock. Coming up next, what's going on with Frenchie Davis.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying.
You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today.
Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me. So you can see, oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, what's going on?
What's going on? What's going on? Good morning, good morning, good people. Happy Tuesday. It is March 20th. Or May 24th, I said March, I am in my M's, May 24th, 2022. We have so much to cover this morning. We are talking about a new report that shows that top Southern Baptist stonewalled sex abuse victims. The Southern Baptist Convention is America's largest Protestant denomination. The 288-page report states survivors and others repeatedly shared allegations with the Southern Baptist Convention's executive committee. They were met with resistance and outright hostility from within the top administrative committee. The seven-month investigation was conducted by Godspot Solutions, an independent firm contracted by the executive committee. And last year, delegates at the SBC's national gathering demanded the committee should not be allowed to investigate itself and set this third-party review into motion. So this morning, we're going to be taking calls. We're going to be discussing church hurt. And we have an amazing guest, Reverend Dr. Beverly Dale, who is a published author, ordained minister. Her ministry has taken her from being a pastor in a Christian church that was Disciples of Christ in Illinois for 6 years to 21 years of campus ministry at the University of Pennsylvania. She is presently the founder and chair of the Incarnation Institute for Sex and Faith, an educational nonprofit that teaches an inclusive, science-friendly, sex-positive Christianity. And if you're wondering, as you break out of bed this morning, not necessarily wanting to, but understanding that you had to get up this morning, I am so sorry for that. I know we'd all much rather sleep in, but if you're up and percolating, just know that it will be 68 degrees today. And the skies will be clearing, but 5 to 10 miles per hour. And this evening, expect temperatures to be around 54 degrees. And the sunset shall close at about 8:14 this evening, or rather tonight. So again, we will be taking your calls with our guest. But first, let's hear a little national news.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
We remain committed to supporting the peace and stability across the Taiwan Straits and ensuring that there is no unilateral change of that status quo.
President Joe Biden says the United States would provide military aid to Taiwan should China invade the island nation. Taiwan declared independence from China after World War II, and officials in Beijing have long wanted to annex the country. U.S. support of Taiwan has been a point of contention with China as the two nations wrangle over trade and human rights issues. Biden's comments came as he met with Asia-Pacific leaders on Monday to reestablish diplomatic relationships, 5 years after former President Donald Trump pulled out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Through a translator, Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida told reporters Biden's new Indo-Pacific economic framework has the support of his nation.
Having said so, Japan hopes to see the United States return to the TPP from a strategic perspective.
The New York Times reports a dozen Asian-Pacific nations will join the new economic bloc. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky gave a virtual address to the World Economic Forum in Davos Monday. Speaking via a translator, Zelensky urged the forum to push for more economic sanctions on Russia and criticized world when Russia annexed the once Ukraine.
That happened, sure, on governments, on scale war, and upon war. To this question is also no.
The Supreme Court Monday stripped back the ability of incarcerated people to challenge their convictions based on ineffective legal representation. In a 6-3 decision, the justices held federal courts cannot consider new evidence when revisiting criminal convictions handed down by state-level judges. The decision may mean a death sentence for the two Arizona men on death row who brought the initial suit, alleging their post-conviction lawyers were incompetent and did not provide adequate representation during their trials. In a dissenting opinion, Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote the decision violated the Sixth Amendment, which guarantees the right to an attorney, and added the ruling, quote, hamstrings the federal court's authority to safeguard that right, unquote. Vice President Kamala Harris visited the Children's National Hospital in Washington, D.C. Monday to mark National Mental Health Month. Harris said there is an urgent need to address the mental toll the pandemic has taken on the nation's healthcare workers.
The problem existed. This burnout issue existed even before the pandemic.
Harris's comments came as the U.S. Surgeon General released a new advisory on health worker burnout and resignation. The report projected America will be short more than 3 million essential low-wage healthcare workers in the coming years. I'm Jonah Chester for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Wow, that's interesting. Short 3 million low-wage health advocates. How about they not be low-wage anymore? Okay, America, we have to get it together. So welcome to What's Going On. I'm your host, Frenchie Davis, this Tuesday and every Tuesday morning. Let's talk about this. The same church institution that is anti-reproductive rights, anti-LGBTQ, anti-sin, anti-sexual health, is pro-pederasty, pro-victim silencing, pro-rape, and pro-sexual violence, all the while lobbying to political leaders to pretend that they are pro-life, when they are really just pro-control. Welcome to What's Going On. This morning, we are talking about church hurt with Reverend Dr. Beverly Dale. Good morning, Dale. Welcome to What's Going On. How are you?
Yeah, I'm just fine. And this is an interesting story to talk about.
But we must talk about it, and we must bring it to the forefront, because as oftentimes, sexual violence is swept under the rug. And as we await with bated breath the almost guaranteed overturning of Roe v. Wade, I think that this is very important to bring to the light. You know, this has been going on in the Southern Baptist Convention for over 20 years, and we know historically that it's been longer than that. And so I think it's first important that we define pederasty, because I think that in general, as I'm a sexual health advocate and you are a sexual health advocate in the ministry, this is not a term that most people are aware of. So can we first define pederasty?
Well, it's an abuse of power. That's where you go immediately. Who's got the power in that situation? And if it's an older adult messing around with a younger person, that's pederasty. And that is soundly condemned in religious literature for the most part as well. In fact, that's what many people, New Testament scholars think Paul, Apostle Paul, was talking about in the book of Romans. It's not homosexuality at all, but pederasty.
Correct, which is specifically targeting religious leaders. So, you know, so we're not confusing this with pedophilia, so to speak, even though sometimes pedophilia and ephebophilia is involved in this. But pederasty specifically is under the umbrella of the church. And, you know, often enough, we do not talk about this and we depend on our spiritual and our religious leaders. And at the same time, we are allowing our religious leaders to violate us under the guise of being and identifying as a good Christian. What do we do there?
Well, there's so much more to that story, because the entire Southern Baptist convention is swimming in sexual ignorance. They teach people in their congregations not to talk about sex. They don't have a vocabulary to talk about sex from the age of 5 years old till they're the head of the church. They just simply have no understanding of consent or how to negotiate and communicate needs or interests or unhappiness and dissatisfaction sexually. So you set up the church leaders themselves are supposed to be leading, but when in actuality they are as sexually ignorant as the parishioners are. And so they make decisions that are based upon their own personal needs, perhaps, for whether or not they're doing the pederasty themselves or whether they're just covering up for a buddy in the ministry, rather than looking at the least of these, which is what Jesus talked about that we should be doing. But the Southern Baptists were the ones in 1993 who started, they got that true love waits idea, and they really pushed the federal government. At one point, they had over 200,000 purity pledges from teenagers that they dumped on the mall as a publicity stunt. But what they got was abstinence only until marriage legislation and millions of dollars to keep our kids ignorant. And so when the pastor, someone they trust, approaches them inappropriately or violently and abusively, the kids don't know how to say that's wrong. And they're encouraged by a culture of silence not to say what's happening to them to someone who is trusted. And even if they did go to someone who is trusted in their family, if they've been swimming in the water of sexual ignorance and abstinence only until marriage, those family members or friends may not be helpful to those kids anyway. So the soup is very murky and very messy, and it's much more than just power abuse, although that's certainly to be condemned. But power abuse can happen when nobody knows how to talk about it and when there are no structures in place for the victims themselves.
Agreed. And to your point also, you know, when we speak about the push for abstinence, which has clinically been proven to be unfounded, to be probably the worst course of action in sexual health, because there is absolutely no empirical data that suggests that abstinence before marriage is healthy, most times sustainable, and it diminishes personal exploration. It diminishes sexual autonomy and sexual agency, and as you said, it diminishes the voice of the body holder that is the most impacted by this. And so it's troubling when I also think about, you know, CNN in October had also reported that between 2,900 and 3,200 pedophile clergymen have worked in the French Catholic Church since the 1950s. And I know that this predates the 1950s, but the fact that we continue to use religion as a political football. We weaponize religion to control, to dominate. We see this playing out right now in the political arena with Roe v. Wade, with reproductive rights, with even around the discussion of rape, molestation. We are seeing this play out. And, you know, it's reported that President Ed Litton of the SBC, in a statement, he says, you know, he's grieved to his core. But you ignored this to your core. I'm trying to understand where is the accountability to this.
Right, right. Ed Litton, to his credit, he's a moderate, and he was elected last year specifically over someone who is more right-wing, who would have swept this under the rug, if I can prophesy that. Okay. So he was not in charge at when all this was happening, but for years, the victims have been approaching people saying, we've got a problem, we've got a problem. And last year was when they really pushed really hard to get a moderate in there who would make sure that a third party study happened and so forth. So it'll be interesting to see how he is going to follow through with that and as a denomination confront it. But it's interesting that you mentioned the Catholic situation, because starting about 2000, 2002, it hit Rome at how many priests had been messing with their parishioners and their choir boys and so forth inappropriately. And then other denominations have also looked deeply at what kinds of things they have in mind. So the issue of sexual fear that drives this, the issue of trying to restrict and control sexual pleasure and who has access to it, that's a Christendom problem. That's all of Christianity, but particularly the evangelical side and the Roman Catholic side. So it goes back to their founder of Jesus. It goes back to the Greco-Roman world and the diminishment of the body, the trivialization of women, and all of that. So it's a big problem that happened early on in the Christian church that few people have really tried to maintain it. And so it, because it's allied now with the right wing and it's allied with status quo and it's allied with empire, that sex negative story keeps getting pounded into the heads of certainly the U.S. culture and in our seminaries. And so you have pastors who know simply teach that everything is wrong until you get the magical piece of paper.
Wow.
So that it's a Christian problem. And the Southern Baptists are just the only latest ones to be caught finally. And perhaps some of those folks will be held accountable and some structures will be put into place. But until they address that sex negativity, it's just going to come out in another way.
I agree with you. You know, we're going to open our phone lines 212-209-2877. We are talking about the Southern Baptist Convention, which is America's largest Protestant denomination, which is now facing a 288-page report discussing the survivors of pederasty and sexual abuse. Again, our phone lines are open, 212-209-2877. Join me and Reverend Dr. Beverly Dale on the other side of this beautiful song, Wade in the Water.
deliver Daniel, 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 did my Lord deliver Daniel, then why not every man? Now did my Lord deliver Daniel, did my Lord deliver Daniel, then why not every man? A man went down to the river, man went down to the river, Lord, man went down to the river, he went down there for the brave, man went down to the river, man went down to
That was a historical classic, Wade in the Water. It is 68 degrees, and we can look for 54 this evening, partly cloudy skies. Come on, summer, come back to us. We are asking Mother Nature to come back to us. We enjoy the warm temperatures. We enjoy the warm temperatures. You are listening to What's Going On here on WBAI New York. I am your host, Frenchie Davis, this Tuesday and every Tuesday morning. And this morning, we're talking about what we refer to as church hurt. I am visited by the amazing guest, Reverend Dr. Beverly Dale. And we are discussing the Southern Baptist Convention, who has now been called out for its years of sexual abuse against its faithful, against its committed, against its most vulnerable. And we have these religious leaders historically taking advantage of its followers. And, you know, it's overwhelming because this has been going on for so many years. And, Reverend Dale, I got a chance to also review the report and the task force updates, and I'm looking at what they would consider some of the remedies to help some of this along. And the remedies are, or the, as I would say, the their suggestions, their recommendations for how to help minimize this, perhaps. You know, it's all focused on, oh, you know, let's have a committee, let's have a subject matter expert, which they really won't do. I mean, there have been tons of subject matter experts who have approached them. They recommend boards and standing committees to discuss survivor care. They recommend that IMB, NAMB, I don't know these acronyms quite honestly, SBC seminaries require formal preparation for their denominational workers and students in regard to prevention training and survivor care. I don't see anything that helps address this disease of pederasty. I don't see anything that helps address the church hurt that is impacting its church community. There is nothing to address the victims in here. There, it's amazing to set aside a budget and hire a salary staff person for the credentials committee. What in the hell does that have to do with sexual abuse, sexual violence by religious leaders? So we can't hold our religious leaders accountable. We can't hold our political leaders accountable. And everything is being scapegoated by a committee.
Right. They've been hiding behind their definition. See, they don't have a bureaucratic structure. Every congregation can go out and hire whoever they want to. So that's their excuse for not doing that. So it's good to have accountability structures. That's good. That it's the very basic, the smallest band-aid they could put on, Yes, do it. You should have done that ages ago. It should already be in place. If not mandated, then certainly strongly required. But this is the church is really good sometimes when it matters of sexuality, of using shame as social control. And they could set up systems in which someone who does something they shouldn't, is shamed by the national church, give people permission to say, no, you have behaved in a way that shows you have not repented. You have not changed. We're not just going to take your word for it. There has to be some investigations and some, really turning around in order to accept you back into the ministry. So some of that stuff has to happen, but you're right. What about the victims? What about those people who are hurt, deeply hurt by people they thought they could trust, by a church they thought they could count on, by a church family that they thought would stand by them, and instead they've been stonewalled and made invisible? That is very serious. And those people have every right to cry out in pain and cry out for justice. Evangelical churches, by and large, are not really good on the justice end. They like to do the love part, where it's just be nice and not argue and not fight, rather than say, you know what, we've got to change things and we've got to make things right. So we'll hope that they do the right thing and listen, not only listen to the victims, stories in order to make changes for the future, but also there has to be more than just, as some politicians say, prayers and best wishes for somebody. You know, we want something tangible.
Yeah, I agree. And our phone lines are open, 212-209-2877. Let's take a call. Good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, good morning. This is TK.
Good morning,
currently
TK.
In Rockland County. Good morning. Can I make a quick disclaimer? 10
sure.
years, Catholic school, 10 years, Sunday school, grew up in the church, read the Bible cover to cover multiple times. I am a spiritualist. I do not believe in religiosity. These organized religions, to me, in my opinion, have been the bane of civilization, the bane of humanity. There's no religion that has not been used to desecrate, to kill, to maim, to promote slavery, rape, incest, and warmongering. No religion, even right now, right there in Israel, okay? So it's horrible to me that we, at 2020, 2022, maybe even 2030, 2040, will still be putting our hands on a Bible, a Talmud, a Quran, and saying, I'm going to do what this book says I should do. Because all I've seen come from it is horror. That's all I've seen come from it. People getting rich, these preachers, these churches taking money. That's all it's about, money, power. And I'm just disgusted. So please tell me, why should anybody even care about this show today? Why should we, as decent human beings, continue to pour into a cup that has no bottom? And I'll listen to you guys.
Thank you. Okay. Dr. Dale, and I understand, I'm hearing the church hurt from this individual. And regardless, you know, we, you know, when you are indoctrinated into a faith and into a belief, where do you go from there, knowing that there is this prominent underground current of abuse in a myriad of ways, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, suppression, in a myriad of ways. The suppression of a pleasure, the suppression of joy. How do you speak to those who are still clinging on to belief? What would you say to a caller like TK or others who are listening? And our phone lines are open, 212-209-2877.
I would say that God is not employed by the church, nor a synagogue or, you know, insert temple. And that when we are wounded, we need to go where we can find love. Because where we find love, there we will find God. So there, during the AIDS crisis, particularly, I was seeing horrible things coming out of the church, of people saying to people who were dying, sorry, we're not doing your funeral. Sorry, you're not part of us anymore. Families kicking kids, people out. And I would say to those people, you already have your sacred space in your community of LGBT people who were caring for them with potlucks and wiping their brow as they died. I mean, so those are sacred spaces. And I hear what our caller is saying, and I happen to agree with much of what he's saying. There's a wonderful book called Violence in God's Name, in which this is documented throughout history of all religions have participated in horrible violence and horrible things to happen. I would also make the argument that the glass is not leaking. The glass is half full and the glass is half empty. That many churches are taking on global change, and the Pope has come out with a lot of statements around poverty and immigration, and that there are people making a difference because they believe in the story of unlimited love and mercy and compassion, and that way we are to be as human beings to take care of one another. So that is in the church, but sometimes in the religious structures of the bureaucracies and the organizations, power abuse begins to happen and gets codified. And then you have the smaller church that gets what the message is. And then you have the people who are upholding the structures that have forgotten what the message is and not living it. So my sympathies to people who think that there's nothing left to be salvaged. I totally understand that. And if that's where you are, walk away and walk away knowing that God is walking right there beside you. Mm. And you can, when you find love, you will find God.
That is refreshing. Let's go to another caller. Our phone lines are open. We're talking about church hurt this morning as the Southern Baptist Convention has lifted up the robes of these men to find tremendous sin as so many continue to follow the largest Protestant leadership in the world that has been called out on pederasty and sexual abuse in the church. Good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Good morning. It's Thomasina from Bergen County.
Good morning. Good morning, Thomasina. Talk to us.
So I was raised Catholic, and from all of my memories as a little girl, the priest always like talked bad about people that didn't send their kids to Catholic school. So it's been a negative ever since I was a little girl, listening to these people in leadership roles just be haters. And I literally even like left the Catholic Church because they forced public school kids to go to special masses without their parents. I mean, it was disgusting. So I decided not to raise my children in any religion, and I'm so happy I did so. All due respect, I do not see any role for God and love. I mean, you could have love without God. There's no doubt in my mind. I was not raised in a religious family, but there was tons of love. To think that you only can have love if you have God in your life, I know that's not what you're saying, but you're equating love and God. And to me, there's no such equation. I think religion is the problem. We see what's going on in our own country where these religious zealots want to impose their views on others. and I'm sick of the dogma. I'm sick of it. I don't see religion as a positive force for anything. I think people need to recognize also religion is oppressive to women. There is very few churches in this world that allow women to take leadership roles. And for that reason, women need to wake up. Because I tried organizing women in a union, and every time I tried to do something, they were too busy doing their church duties. They wouldn't even come to meetings. They wouldn't organize. But they were really involved in their church. But the church wasn't going to get them a raise. So it's a big problem that women specifically continue to be servers in a organization that oppresses them. And I find it very gross, the whole situation.
Thank you, Thomasina. Okay, so Thomasina said a lot of loaded points that I would like you to speak to. Dr. Dale, you know, you and I were both kind of smiling and nodding our heads, you know, and as I think of how politics is a type of religion, being a Democrat is a religion, being a Republican is a religion. And then it is immersed and dipped also in these various cult sects of religion, be it the evangelicals, the Protestants, the Catholicism. And I'm looking at these different cults, and I look at the cults of politics as well. And, you know, and she's right, you know, the stream of oppression continues and flows through this. And we can see this manifesting its way through our judicial systems and impacting us personally through, again, our reproductive rights as men and women. And even more so, I agree with Thomasina, you know, the church has never fought for equal pay for women, even though the church is made up of 75% women who contribute financially to the church. It's amazing that the church of all spaces would not want to fight for economic equity for women. And it has always been silent on that, just as it is silent on the sexual abuse that permeates through its system.
Okay, so there's much of what she said that I totally agree with. I think the subordination of women is a deep problem, and maybe a part of the reason why the church is in the mess that it is, because they have silenced the voices of women and failed to empower women in positions of leadership, but also just with our own moral integrity and our own authenticity to be who we are. So that being said, I think the real question is, what is it to be human? And what is it to be human is to, we want pleasure and joy and intimacy and connection. And you can get those things through our bodies, through the pleasure of eating sumptuous feast, or through orgasmic pleasure and connection with intimate others, friends or lovers. So, and we want things to be fair for ourselves. When we come from a place of abundance and feeling good about life, and we have meaning, is to laugh and enjoy life and have some meaningful employment or something fun to do and creative. We want it to be fair for other people. That kind of spreads out. So it's not just about us. It's all about other people. Now, societies throughout time, as far back as we know, have always reached out beyond ourselves to say, you know, and when we do that, something leads us to leave just our own little skin and bones here to say there's something spirit, there's something out there. So all cultures, however so-called primitive, have reached out beyond and tried to express something beyond ourselves. So the spiritual impulse, if you will, to connect or to create or to seek joy may or may not have the word God to it. All right. And it doesn't have to be contained to religious buildings and religious dogma. That's the human stuff that gets codified and then we get in trouble with.
You know, and it's funny, as you are Reverend Dr. Beverly Dale, it's refreshing to hear that from someone who per se is from the church or from the cloth. I think that that is a rare perspective. We're going to take another caller. Good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling from?
From New Jersey.
Okay, just speak a little louder. I can just barely hear you. Thank you. Welcome.
Hi. Sure. A great program. Amazingly important topic. My comment is that once any institution, including the church, has its members deviate into the criminal side, and certain activities such as sexual crimes are in the code, as in the criminal code. So what I haven't read the report, but I don't know if there is a mention of referrals to law enforcement, to investigators, to specialists within the criminal code that deal with criminal acts that are sexual in nature, such as rape and abuse and so on. So that was just my comment. I haven't heard a mention of the crimes that have been committed, and why wouldn't the church, any church, just use the resources of law enforcement to take care of these individuals the proper way, like any other organized institution would do. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing that up. And yeah, I didn't speak about it because it does not exist as far as recommendations for sexual abuse and sexual violence in the church, which you're absolutely right. It is scary how the church, again, refuses to integrate accountability. Now, I'm not sure, because I am against the prison system overall. I'm not sure if, honestly, the prison system is the solution, although these individuals should not be able to live under the guise of their sins and then have the audacity to talk about the sins of others, which is my concern. So again, our phone lines are open, 212-209-2877. We're talking about church hurt with Reverend Dr. Beverly Dale. And we're going to come back and take some more of your calls on the other side of this song by Marvin Sapp. Take a listen.
He saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. Said he saw the best in me. I guess I'm the only one got this testimony. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time? I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey,
he saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me, yeah.
Can only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When folk walked you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me, yes. Oh.
When everyone else around,
can
only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? Oh, see, he is mine, and I am his.
And that was Marvin Sapp with He Saw the Best in Me. And I wish our religious leaders could see the best in us and understand that Oppression is not God's way. Sexual violence is not God's way. The elimination of reproductive rights is not God's way. Good morning. You're listening to What's Going On here on WBAI New York. I am Frenchie Davis, your host this Tuesday and every Tuesday morning. We opened our phone lines 212-209-2877. I would like to welcome our next caller with our guest, Reverend Dr. Beverly Dale. Good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Russ up in White Plains, Frenchie.
Good morning, Russ.
Oh, good morning, Frenchie. You know, I'd like to say, I'd like to seek your indulgence on what I'm going to say here, but it isn't a clear line. You know, in religion, people get to states of arousal, and we live in a sexualized society, and teenagers are sexualized, and sometimes, you know, people have to learn to resist. And I think in school this goes on, and this is what fears people have now, that this is another setting where sexuality and authority are shouldn't be mixed up, but they're inevitably mixed up. We're learning about gender and lifestyles, but I'm afraid people don't really consider teachers adequately supervised. There are unclear messages going out about to teachers about what they should be talking about in the classroom involving their personal lives. And I want to ask Dr. Beverly, if I can call you Dr. Beverly, is there a process for addressing these mixtures of authority and sexuality to get to a solution? Thank you very much for listening to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Russ. Great question.
I think there's a movement right now that we should be controlling what teachers teach. And I'm very fearful about that movement. So I'm not really sure where your question is coming from on that. The assumption is they've gone through four years of college and training in child development and certain subject matters that they know how to teach. That being said, it is not required that teachers learn anything about sex education. So they're not ready to answer any kinds of questions for age-appropriate questions from their classes about what's happening to their bodies, and certainly not prepared as a rule to talk about what happens when somebody approaches you inappropriately. All right. So I'm reluctant to tell teachers how to teach the kids. I'm much more interested in how to get pastors to be able to be educated about sexuality and to reframe the church's message about the body is good, pleasure is good, now let's be responsible with it in ways that are consistent with the gospel. That's my Christian bias on that. And so that's kind of the authority. I mean, why in heaven's name do we not, as this nation, have comprehensive sex education from K through high school? I mean, that should be just a matter of fact, because that is what prepares our kids to say no. And it prepares them to say yes. And that's why we don't have it. All right.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's take another caller. Thank you for calling and waiting. Good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling from? Quickly.
Good morning. This is Rose from Flemington.
Good morning, Rose.
Listen, I think there's something missing here, and that is that the churches universally do not pay taxes. And I think that when we have issues of malfeasance, for lack of a better word, that tax free status would be revoked, and they would have to come up with a proof plan of what they're actually doing for communities in feeding the homeless, having the thrift stores. You know, this has been an unobserved pool of funds for a lot of years. And many years ago, I worked and got to, in 1978 and 79, to see the formation of the religious right through that. They were trying to go after Jimmy Carter's religion. It was Roger Ailes, Roberts, Falwell. They were all meeting at this exclusive club, you know. And we have never addressed the fact that this whole, you know, holier-than-thou madness that's bubbled up has been kind of, it was like the curtain about really what was going on. And that would be the best way of making these bad churches, and there are many, and many pastors who do all kinds of weird stuff, and that they need to have an education. If you hit them in the pocketbook, that hurts.
I agree, Rose. Thank you so much for making that comment, because, you know, in so many ways, of course, accountability begins in the pockets. Absolutely. Let's take our last caller in this last minute. Good morning, caller. What is your name? And thank you for calling.
Yeah, good morning. I have I don't have the time, I know, to give all the proper greeting. But real quick, though, I see, I know you're rushing and you got a lot, you know, you got to go. But I've had debates with a lot of people in talk radio as to how much of this is entertainment and how much is actually serious revolution trying to get things done. But that's an issue for another day. And, you know, I think a host's going to have to one day separate. You know, are you selling commercials? Are you trying to have fun? Or are you trying to educate people? And that's where I go right now. This whole thing about sexuality in the world has been totally corrupted. There was a committee in United States back in the 60s that were trying to establish the Institute of Sexuality and the Institute of Religion in Washington. It was going to be a non-denominational study of these two issues. And it was brought by, it was supported by some kind of wealthy people in America. And then this more wealthier class of people in America came along and had it abolished. They said, nah, we can't do that. They was making too much money off of, everybody knows sex sells, and they were, they didn't want to have it. But the confusion around this issue, it's so unbelievable. People don't understand the cycle of people seeking pleasure from other people. And,
so thank you, caller. One moment. Thank you, caller, as we are wrapping up. And you said some pivotal things. And again, I just want to thank all of our callers and all of our listeners this morning as we discuss Church Hurt and the Southern Baptist Convention, this 288-page report. I encourage you to read, because this has deeply impacted so many, and it is impacting our political streams, our political institutions, as we see the lack of accountability for the sexual violence in the church. We see the same lack of accountability being mirrored in our political institutions. And we can say that we're worried about, you know, our kids and what they learn, when the fact is that as humans, we will all experience puberty at some point in time, and we will all grow and evolve, and we are born as sexual beings. And that's why we should understand and know that God created us in a divine sexual spiritual light. Reverend Dr. Dale, please tell our listeners where they can find you at the Incarnation Institute for Sex and Faith, and how they can follow up with you and your YouTube page as well. Please share that information.
I have a YouTube channel. It's a little dated now, but it's Rev Beverly Dale. Easy to find, because I have eight YouTubes that say sex is good, and they're about 5 minutes long. Incarnationinstitute.org is the website, and we have a few resources there for people. We have some bibliographies there, so I'm pretty easy to find if you just Google Rev Bev.
Thank you, Rev Bev. And again, I want to thank all our callers and listeners. This is What's Going On here on WBAI New York. I am Frenchie Davis, your host, this Tuesday and every Tuesday morning. Make it a beautiful day.
The Vision Zero initiative reminds you that speeding ruins lives. Drivers, always look for pedestrians and cyclists and slow your turns to 5 miles per hour.
Yeah, definitely it's yours, but...
Listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, the best radio station you'll ever hear.